Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. I'm reading today from the life and diary of David Brainerd. We're in part six. He's continuing on with his inner struggles and his outward ministry. Let's join him on Monday, July 9, 1744. Was under much illness of body most of the day, not able to sit up the whole day. Towards night felt a little better. Then spent some time in reading God's word and prayer, enjoyed some degree of fervency and affection, was enabled to plead with God for his cause and kingdom, and through divine goodness it was apparent to me that it was his cause I pleaded for and not my own, and was enabled to make this an argument with God to answer my requests. Tuesday, July 10, was very ill, full of pain, very dull and spiritless. In the evening, had an affecting sense of my ignorance and so on, and of my need of God at all times to do everything for me, and my soul was humbled before God. Wednesday, July 11, was still exercised with illness and pain. I had some degree of affection and warmth in prayer and reading God's word. I longed for Abraham's faith and fellowship with God. Felt some resolution to spend all my time for God and to exert myself with more fervency in his service, but found my body weak and feeble. In the afternoon, though very ill, was enabled to spend some considerable time in prayer. Spent indeed most of the day in that exercise, and my soul was diffident, watchful, and tender, lest I should offend my blessed friend in thought or behavior. I am persuaded my soul confided in and leaned upon the blessed God. Oh, what need did I see myself to stand in of God at all times, to assist me and lead me. Found a great need of strength and vigor, both in the outward and inner man. Well, the exercises and experiences that he speaks of in the next 9 days, says Jonathan Edwards, are very similar to those of the preceding days of this and the foregoing week. A sense of his own weakness, ignorance, unprofitableness, vileness, loathing and abhorring himself, self-diffidence, a sense of the greatness of his work and his great need of divine help, and the extreme danger of self-confidence, longing for holiness and humility, and to be fitted for his work and to live to God, and longing for the conversion of the Indians. And these things to a very great degree. Saturday, July 21. This morning I was greatly oppressed with guilt and shame from a sense of inward vileness and pollution. About 9, withdrew to the woods for prayer, but had not much comfort. I appeared to myself the vilest, meanest creature upon earth, and could scarcely live with myself. So mean and vile I appeared that I thought I should never be able to hold up my face in heaven, if God of his infinite grace should bring me thither. Towards night, in my burden respecting my work among the Indians began to increase much, and was aggravated by hearing sundry things that looked very discouraging, in particular that they intended to meet together the next day for an idolatrous feast and dance. Then I began to be in anguish. I thought I must in conscience go and endeavor to break them up. I knew not how to attempt such a thing. However, I withdrew for prayer, hoping for strength from above. And in prayer I was exceedingly enlarged, and my soul was as much drawn out as ever I remember it to have been in my life or near. I was in such anguish and pleaded with so much earnestness and importunity that when I rose from my knees, I felt extremely weak and overcome. I could scarcely walk straight, and my joints were loose. The sweat ran down my face and body, and nature seemed as if it would dissolve. So far as I could judge, I was wholly free from selfish ends in my fervent supplications for the poor Indians. I knew that they were met together to worship devils and not God, and this made me cry earnestly that God would now appear and help me in my attempts to break up this idolatrous meeting. My soul pleaded long, and I thought God would hear and would go with me to vindicate his own cause. I seemed to confide in God for his presence and assistance. And thus I spent the evening praying incessantly for divine assistance, and that I might not be self-dependent, but still have my whole dependence upon God. What I passed through was remarkable, and indeed inexpressible. All things here below vanished. There appeared to be nothing of any considerable importance to me but holiness of heart and life, and the conversion of the heathen to God. All my cares, fears, desires, which might be said to be of a worldly nature, disappeared, and were, in my esteem, of little more importance than a puff of wind. I exceedingly longed that God would get to himself a name among the heathen, and I appealed to him with the greatest freedom that he knew I preferred him above my chief joy. Indeed, I had no notion of joy from this world. I cared not where or how I lived or what hardships I went through, so that I could but gain souls to Christ. I continued in this frame all the evening and night. While I was asleep, I dreamed of these things. And when I waked, as I frequently did, the first thing I thought of was this great work of pleading for God against Satan. Lord's Day, July 22. When I waked, my soul was burdened with what seemed to be before me. I cried to God before I could get out of my bed. As soon as I was dressed, I withdrew into the woods to pour out my burdened soul to God, especially for assistance in my great work, for I could scarcely think of anything else. I enjoyed the same freedom and fervency as the last evening, and did with unspeakable freedom give up myself afresh to God, for life or death, for all hardships he should call me to among the heathen. I felt as if nothing could discourage me from this blessed work. I had a strong hope that God would bow the heavens and come down and do some marvelous work among the heathen. When I was riding to the Indians, 3 miles, my heart was continually going up to God for his presence and assistance, and hoping and almost expecting that God would make this the day of his power and grace amongst the poor Indians. When I came to them, I found them engaged in their frolic. But through divine goodness, I got them to break up and attend to my preaching. Yet still there appeared nothing of the special power of God among them. Preached again to them in the afternoon, and observed the Indians were more sober than before, but still saw nothing special among them, from whence Satan took occasion to tempt and buffet me with these cursed suggestions. There is no God, or if there be, he's not able to convert the Indians before they have more knowledge and all. I was very weak and weary, and my soul borne down with perplexity, but was mortified to all the world, and was determined still to wait upon God for the conversion of the heathen, though the devil tempted me to the contrary. Monday, July 23, retained still a deep and pressing sense of what lay with so much weight upon me yesterday, but was more calm and quiet, enjoyed freedom and composure, after the temptations of the last evening had sweet resignation to the divine will, and desired nothing so much as the conversion of the heathen to God, and that his kingdom might come in my own heart and the hearts of others. Rode to a settlement of Irish people, about 15 miles southwestward. Spent my time in prayer and meditation by the way. Near night I preached from Matthew 5:3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." God was pleased to afford me some degree of freedom and fervency. Blessed be God for any measure of assistance. Tuesday, July 24. Rode about 17 miles westward over a hideous mountain to a number of Indians. Got together near 30 of them, preached to them in the evening, and lodged among them. Was weak, and felt in some degree disconsolate, yet could have no freedom in the thought of any other circumstances or business in life. All my desire was the conversion of the heathen, and all my hope was in God. God does not suffer me to please or comfort myself with hopes of seeing friends or returning to my dear acquaintance and enjoying worldly comforts. Well, the next day he preached to these Indians again. Then he returned to the Irish settlement, there preached to a numerous congregation. There was a considerable appearance of awakening in the congregation. Thursday he returned home, exceedingly fatigued and spent, still in the same frame of mortification to the world, solicitous for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. And on this day he says thus, "I have felt this week more of the spirit of a pilgrim on earth than perhaps ever before, and yet so desirous to see Zion's prosperity that I was not so willing to leave this scene of sorrows as I used to be." Well, the two remaining days of the week he was very ill, complains of wanderings and dullness and want of spiritual fervency and sweetness. On the Sabbath he was confined by illness, not able to go out to preach. After this, his illness increased upon him, and he continued very ill all the week. And he says that, quote, "he thought he never before endured such a season of a distressing weakness, and that his nature was so spent that he could neither stand, sit, nor lie with any quiet. He was exercised with extreme faintness and sickness at his stomach. His mind was as much disordered as his body, seeming to be stupid and without any kind of affections toward all objects, and yet perplexed to think that he lived for nothing, that precious time rolled away, and he could do nothing but trifle. Speaks of it as a season wherein Satan buffeted him with some peculiar temptations." That's the end of a quote from another source. Well, concerning the next 5 days, he writes this. "On the Lord's Day, August 5, was still very poor, but though very weak, I visited and preached to the poor Indians twice, and was strengthened vastly beyond my expectations. Indeed, the Lord gave me some freedom and fervency in addressing them, though I had not strength enough to stand, but was obliged to sit down the whole time. Towards night was extremely weak, faint, sick, full of pain. And thus I have continued much in the same state that I was in last week, through the most of this, it being now Friday, unable to engage in any business, frequently unable to pray in the family. I'm obliged to let all my thoughts and concerns run at random, for I have neither strength to read, meditate, or pray. And this naturally perplexes my mind. I seem to myself like a man that has all his estate embarked in one small boat, unhappily going adrift down a swift torrent. The poor owner stands on the shore and looks and laments his loss. But alas, though all seems to be adrift, and I stand and see it, I dare not lament. For this sinks my spirits more, and aggravates my bodily disorders. I'm forced, therefore, to divert myself with trifles, though at the same time I'm afraid and often feel as if I was guilty of the misimprovement of time. Oftentimes my conscience is so exercised with this miserable way of spending time that I have no peace. Though I have no strength of mind or body to improve it to better purpose. Oh, that God would pity my distressed state." Now, the next 3 weeks after this, his illness was not so extreme. He was in some degree capable of business, both public and private, although he had some turns wherein his indisposition prevailed to a great degree. He also in this space had, for the most part, much more inward assistance and strength of mind. He often expresses great longings for the enlargement of Christ's kingdom, especially by the conversion of the heathen to God. He speaks of this hope as all his delight and joy. He continues still to express his usual longings after holiness, living to God, and a sense of his own unworthiness. He several times speaks of his appearing to himself the vilest creature on earth, and once says that he verily thought that there were none of God's children who fell so far short of that holiness and perfection in their obedience which God requires as he. He speaks of his feeling more dead than ever to the enjoyments of the world. He sometimes mentions the special assistance he had this space of time in preaching to the Indians and of appearances of religious concern among them. He speaks also of assistance in prayer for absent friends and especially ministers and candidates for the ministry, and of much comfort he enjoyed in the company of some ministers who came to visit him. Saturday, September 1, was so far strengthened after a season of great weakness that I was able to spend 2 or 3 hours in writing on a divine subject. Enjoyed some comfort and sweetness in things divine and sacred, and as my bodily strength was in some measure restored, so my soul seemed to be somewhat vigorous and engaged in the things of God. Lord's Day, September 2, was unable to speak to my poor Indians with much concern and fervency, and I am persuaded God enabled me to exercise faith in Him while I was speaking to them. I perceived that some of them were afraid to hearken to and embrace Christianity, lest they should be enchanted and poisoned by some of the powwows. But I was enabled to plead with them not to fear these, and confiding in God for safety and deliverance, I bid a challenge to all these powers of darkness to do their worst upon me first. I told my people I was a Christian, and I asked them why the powwows did not bewitch and prison and poison me. I scarcely ever felt more sensible of my own unworthiness than in this action. I saw that the honor of God was concerned in the affair, and I desired to be preserved, not from selfish views, but for a testimony of the divine power and goodness and of the truth of Christianity, and that God might be glorified. Afterwards, I found my soul rejoice in God for His assisting grace. After this, he went on a journey into New England, was absent from the place of his abode at the Forks of Delaware about 3 weeks. He was in a feeble state the greater part of the time, but in the latter part of the journey, he found that he gained much in health and strength. And as to the state of his mind and his religious and spiritual exercises, it was much with him as usual in his journeys, excepting that the frame of his mind seemed more generally to be comfortable. But yet there are complaints of some uncomfortable seasons, want of fervency, want of retirements, and time alone with God. In his journey he did not forget the Indians, but once and again speaks of his longing for their conversion. Wednesday, September 26, rode home to the Forks of Delaware. What reason have I to bless God, who has preserved me in riding more than 420 miles, has kept all my bones, not one of them has been broken. My health likewise is greatly recovered. Oh, that I could dedicate my all to God. This is all the return I can make to Him. Thursday, September 27, was somewhat melancholy, had not much freedom and comfort in prayer. My soul is disconsolate when God is withdrawn. Friday, September 28, spent the day in prayer, reading and writing, felt some small degree of warmth in prayer, and some desires of the enlargement of Christ's kingdom by the conversion of the heathen, and that God would make me a chosen vessel to bear His name before them. I longed for grace to enable me to be faithful. The next day he speaks of the same longings for the advancement of Christ's kingdom and the conversion of the Indians, but he complains greatly of the ill effects of the diversions of his late journey, as unfixing his mind from that degree of engagedness and fervency and watchfulness which he enjoyed before. And the like complaints are continued the day after. Monday, October 1, was engaged this day in making preparation for my intended journey to Susquehanna. Withdrew several times to the woods for secret duties, endeavored to plead for the divine presence to go with me to the poor pagans, to whom I was going to preach the gospel. Towards night rode about 4 miles and met Brother Byram, who was come at my desire to be my companion in travel to the Indians. I rejoiced to see him, and I trust God made his conversation profitable to me. I saw him, as I thought, more dead to the world, its anxious cares and alluring objects, than I was. This made me look within myself, gave me a greater sense of my guilt and ingratitude and misery. Tuesday, October 2, set out on my journey in company with dear brother Byram and my interpreter and 2 chief Indians from the Forks of Delaware, traveled about 25 miles and lodged in one of the last houses on our road, after which there was nothing but a hideous and howling wilderness. Wednesday, October 3, We went on our way into the wilderness and found the most difficult and dangerous traveling by far that ever any of us had seen. We had scarce anything else but lofty mountains, deep valleys, and hideous rocks to make our way through. However, I felt some sweetness in divine things part of the day, and had my mind intensely engaged in meditation on a divine subject. Near night, my beast that I rode upon hung one of her legs in the rocks and fell down under me. But through divine goodness, I was not hurt. However, she broke her leg, and being in such a hideous place and near 30 miles from any house, I saw nothing that could be done to preserve her life. So I was obliged to kill her and to prosecute my journey on foot. This accident made me admire the divine goodness to me, that my bones were not broken and the multitude of them filled with strong pain. Just at dark, we kindled a fire, cut up a few bushes, and made a shelter over our heads to save us from the frost, which was very hard that night. And committing ourselves to God by prayer, we lay down on the ground and slept quietly. And then the next day they went forward on their journey, and at night took up their lodging in the woods in like manner. Next time we will begin at October 5, 1744, on a Friday. Friday in the book, not our Friday. We'll be back on Thursday with Mr. Brainerd. For those in real time, it is October 15 today, 2018. Thank you for joining with us today. I do have a whole lot of other things on the website that I wish you would go look at. It would make me so happy. I think it'll make you happy, too, to find some of these things. Good people that I've read from and read about. And there's some Korean language stuff, if you have some Korean friends. A man who came out of North Korea, became a pastor, has put together quite a few audios, I think 400+. And then I have 400+ audios on North Korea also. I do hope you'll join that section. There's over 2,300 audios altogether. Something to browse, I do believe, if you have the time. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we will talk soon. Bye-bye.